hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen. But it's on talk radio.
Second hour of the National Intel Report, ladies and gentlemen. And this hour we were supposed to have Barbara Slavin for another half hour. I think she really got the idea that this one's got glasses and can see. Because when I brought her, before I brought her up, I mentioned the last line of her bio, which is almost like an afterthought. She is a member in the Council on Foreign Relations. And I was going to get around to this hour before we took any calls of making the point where she said, well, you aren't suggesting we go bomb Egypt because, well, there were Egyptian citizens, you know, training with Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. Well, no, not any more than I'm for going in and bombing Iran because they might have supplied some support to Hezbollah with the Palestinians' fight for their freedom, of which they're still fighting and dying over there for their own existence. You know, folks, when we grow this network to about 250, 300 stations, and we get somebody like this on, they won't be able to back out after only a half hour. And I'm disappointed. I'm sincerely disappointed because I wanted her to let us know, because she moves in some very interesting circles. She had laid her own trap, and I was going to let the callers spring on her, but that is not going to happen. Stefan in Texas. Hello, Stefan.
Well, hello, John Stettmiller. How are you today?
I am, I don't know. You're the first person to ask me. Let me think about it. I'll have to get back to you.
Well, I can probably guess you're probably feeling the same way I am. Anyway, I knew and smelt something was wrong with your guest. I just tuned in. I didn't quite even know who you were talking to. But when I heard her say that 9/11 was prepared and planned in Al-Qaeda, I knew there was something wrong. And so I got on the phone right away, and I was just wanted to ask her what her take was on 9/11 so everyone could truly see the cold, manipulated person that you were talking to.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I saw her on C-SPAN, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to get this woman on because I knew she moved in interesting circles. I knew she was right next to a lot of the power politicos of the world. And I first kind of like laid the question here for about the 9/11 deal. I mean, she brought it up first, and you know, I was going to get around to asking her about that, and unfortunately, we didn't have the time because I think she sensed, and she had just gotten done with her editorial meeting up there. It is now 6 o'clock at the Times. And everybody's on their way home. So she got out of here, got out of Dodge real quick. But like I was started to say, if we had 300 radio stations, she would know that by begging out on an interview she agreed to, that it would make her look quite silly.
Well, I think she's just caught up in the matrix, and maybe she's implanted to show the rest of the sheeple what, you know, the dream is. But, anyway, I'll let you get on with your show.
Right.
I wanted to ask her that simple question, but she
You know, isn't it amazing? We bring people on from time to time, and I don't perceive her as being necessarily the enemy. I think she thinks she's on the side that's going to win. And what can you say? Yeah, I was going to get around to the question on the Council on Foreign Relations. That was really going to be my Mac Daddy question, and I was going to go into the issue there, but hey, you know.
These people hide in the closets, John.
Well, and they only pop out, and I'll tell you what, Stefan, I'm working very hard. By this time next year, if this network doesn't have at least 200 radio stations, 250 radio stations, I'm going to shut the door because I don't see too much point in continuing. We're going to go after mainstream and do it with a purpose and a power. And it's not about whether they're going to let us or not. They're not going to have a choice because the American people are going to want a choice instead of the canned, prepackaged, predigested pablum.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system that has proven and guaranteed results for 15 years? I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My system has helped tens of thousands of people that realized they had way too much credit card debt or just could not or did not want to continue paying credit card companies.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees. I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
I have trained over 80 attorneys in at least 15 states on how to use my system and get their clients out of debt in 90 days. But you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors. No need to pay legal fees or make a federal case out of your situation. Call my team today at 321-747-0264 or visit johngalea.com and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. That's 321-747-0264 and johngalia.com.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cardivite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cardivite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cardivite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cardivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Back. Mike in New York. Hello, Mike.
Hey, good evening, John.
Hi.
Yeah, John, I just heard the last few minutes, and I thought...
Lucky you.
Exactly. I thought I was listening to the McNeil-Leary report on PBS. I'm serious, because this woman has that smug delivery,
uh-huh.
You know?
Hey, look, Mike, she was very good. And I was to have her... As a matter of fact, when I talked to her earlier today, she said, how long do you want me on? I said, until we either run out of calls or you get bored, which meant that she had the opportunity for minimal an hour, possibly an hour and a half.
I don't know what planet this bimbo's from, but she says that we will have to wait decades until we see the results of the invasions of Iraq and Afghanistan.
Uh-huh.
I can give her a few results now, because presumably she doesn't need the papers. Number one, over a million Iraqis dead.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, the near bankruptcy of the U.S. The U.S. armed forces stretched to breaking point.
Mm-hmm.
The complete undermining and squandering of U.S. moral leadership.
Yeah.
I mean... where's this bimbo coming from?
Well, and she's not a bimbo. I mean, she, like I said, I wanted her on the program because she moved in some very interesting circles. I mean, one of the clues here is that she is the Wilson International Center for Scholars and also the senior fellow at the U.S. Institute, same Wilson International Center of Peace.
Now, is that the Woodrow Wilson?
Yep.
Well, that just about says it all.
There you go.
Yeah.
I knew what I was getting into, and what I said, you can ask my producer here, what I said during the first break was, oh, this woman is good. She is real slick. But she ran into somebody that kept pointing out her own fallacy of her own stories. I mean, she wanted to debate whether it's 300,000 or over a million Iraqi dead.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, okay, so, all right, so I'm off 700,000 according to you. But again, what was the justification for going in there? Because we set up the deal and we set Saddam Hussein up.
Yeah.
You know, so, well, hey.
Yeah, and the most ridiculous, your remarks you made was, well, we couldn't very well attack Iran or Egypt or Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm. You know, so we're going to attack Iran. Why?
So the implication being, well, let's just pick Iraq.
Why not?
I mean, that's a complete sort of non sequitur.
Well, and what caught my attention when she was on C-SPAN on the Washington Journal is that she was very glib and she was very perky.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And when I start reading her bio and the circles she moved in, I thought, well, we're going to see what she's made of. Let's see what she says.
She's taken the, I think it's the red pill or the blue pill, whatever.
I didn't even get around to the idea that the Woodrow Wilson of, whatever international peace or whatever, you know, that
exactly.
they're into democracy building.
I think the word that describes it best is vacuous.
Yeah.
Okay, John, thanks.
Okay, appreciate your call, Mike. by the way, I was just checking the markets. Isn't it amazing? Tuesday, market goes up, almost 500 points. Today, we're in economic dire consequence. Senate is getting ready to do something. God knows what it is. In a probably midnight vote tonight. They do their best work at night and under the cover of darkness. But the Dow is only down less than 20 points today. Closed less than 20 points. NASDAQ, less than 22 points. United States dollar, hey, buddy, right up there, almost 80. So what's the problem? Seems like when these guys aren't taking direct action, the market responds and it goes up, or at least stabilizes. Very interesting. By the way, couldn't get a whole lot of this article in with Slavin on air, but Ahmadinejad, whether he's being a little slicker now or not, I mean, he's stood his ground. He said, look, I'm not capitulating. The deal was struck between Pooty Poo and Georgie Porgy, Vladimir Putin and George Bush, that, let's tone down the rhetoric here. Let's not start sending the warships over to the Persian Gulf. Putin, I guess, agreed with Bush that he could maintain his sanctions, don't put any more on Iraq, or Iran, rather, and, let's ratchet this down a little bit. Well, you got Robert Gates coming out and going, no, I don't think it's a real good idea for you to attack Iran. I mean, shock of all shocks, Ehud Olmert, which is, I guess, going to be charged criminally over in Israel, and that's no great surprise. We have people here in our own country that should be criminally charged. They're supposed to be in positions of power. But this guy comes out and says, hey, you know, if they're willing to concede, you know, we'll concede. And, well, he said this and he had tears in his eyes when he was saying it. You know, it was very interesting that Slavin, you know, it acknowledged that Israel has always been run by the Zionist. And this is where the real Jewry problem is coming from around the world. It's not Jews per se. It is because of the Zionist, which is very fascinating. He admitted that it was a political organization. Hey. Thomas in Arizona. Hello, Thomas.
Hello, John.
Hi.
I haven't talked to you for so long. Hey, I have a bizarre question. I have a request.
Okay.
Can you explain to us, lagging behind slightly, where's the money coming from for the bailout and who's getting it? Or invisible numbers on computers.
Okay. Now, where it's going to go? Nobody knows.
Okay.
Because the way that the congressional bill first was, and they were only talking about $700
billion. Right.
$250 billion was to be injected into the banks right away for liquidity purposes. So this was supposedly to free up more money for you and I so we can go get into more usury contracts. In other words, credit
right.
to be available. $100 billion of this was to directly go to President Bush's purse strings for his disbursement as he saw fit.
Right.
And then $350 billion was subject to congressional review.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but the problem was with the first congressional plan here is, again, Congress was ceding its authority. They have no constitutional right whatsoever to vote money that make the taxpayers liable for this and then give it to a Treasury secretary or the garbage man that's picking up the garbage in Cleveland, Ohio.
Gotcha.
Okay, so that was the number one problem. Now, as I stated earlier, top of the hour, last hour, Nancy Kaptur has came out with, I think it's Lazio, or it could be Fazio. I forget the guy's name. I think he's out of California. But at any rate, came up with a bill, not a compromise bill, mind you, but a bill totally different and separate from the worst, the worst bill I've ever seen. The first bill that they came up with, that being H.R. 3937. Only this time that has nothing to do with money at all. They're talking about regulation, how they need to track, they need to look at the SEC. They wanted to look at the banks. They wanted transparency, but it wasn't talking about any money being ceded to anybody. What they're looking for is regulation to stop this arterial bleeding of credit that's just flying everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm pretty sure they shut that down pretty quick.
Well, it's gaining momentum. It's going to be very interesting. It's going to be a very interesting day. The people that were for this bill Monday have been out there telling everybody, oh, we've moved more people. I mean, I even saw Charles the Possum Schumer out there saying, oh, well, we're picking up people all over the place.
Now I've got another question.
Yes.
I don't know if you recall the so-called housing bubble thing, about 6 months ago?
Yeah.
Now, they pumped $800 billion in without a vote, without any questions. It just happened.
Uh-huh.
Why is this different?
Well, and that is a good question. How did they just pump $1.25 trillion in the last 8 days into the system, into the banks? They're talking about the FDIC bear. I guess the woman runs the FDIC. They're going to up the insurance rate to, I think, $250,000, $250,000, $250,000. You know, where is the stomach? I don't have an answer for you.
Now, the last question is, where's the money coming from? Is this just money that is fabricated, just like, of course, most of our money?
Yep.
And is it the Federal Reserve buying this stuff out?
No. The Federal Reserve is just going to do a book entry, claim that they have the money,
mm-hmm.
and put the American taxpayer on the hook for it, for a ledger entry.
So when will we get to the point where we realize that the Federal Reserve is the problem and that we have to force that out of existence and go back to the constitutional way of making money?
Thomas, I don't know the answer to that question, but I know you got yourself a mug.
Now, is that phone number you gave out last week still good? Have you, that direct line to the White House?
Yes. That is the main switchboard number.
Uh-huh. Okay.
All right.
I'm going to use it.
All right, Thomas.
Bye. Thank you, John.
All right. Appreciate it. Give that guy a Cupid doll. No, give him one of our RBN mugs. 800-313-9443. We'll continue with the day's goings on. There's never a lack of anything to talk about. It's just trying to prioritize what's the hottest and the most important. We'll be right back.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased. And I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months. Months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Ahmadinejad, as I said last hour, came out with the most recent statement. And like I said, the heat seems to be dwindling. I said this nigh on a month ago, that I don't think we have to worry about the United States invading Iran. Now, go back and listen to the archives, folks. You'll find me saying that because there was not the political justification for doing it. You know, while Rome is burning, do you want to go over and attack the Gauls, I guess? Ahmadinejad was asked, if the Palestinian leaders agree to a two-state solution, could Iran live with the Israeli state? Which, they can still live with the Israeli state. Their problem has been the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. Okay. His response was, if they, meaning the Palestinians, want to keep the Zionist, they can stay. Whatever the people decide, we will respect it. I mean, it's very much in correspondence with our own proposal to allow the Palestinian people to decide through free referendums. Now, since most of the Palestinians are willing to accept a two-state solution, the Iranian president is, in effect, agreeing to Israel's right to exist and opening the door to a peace deal that Iran will endorse. Now, Ahmadinejad supposedly, according to the story, made this apparently extraordinarily crafty shift in policy during an interview last week when he was in New York to discuss address the United Nations General Assembly. Now, here's two suspects. He was interviewed on September 24 by reporters Juan Gonzalez, writing for the New York Daily News, and, of course, Amy Goodman for the current affairs TV program Democracy Now! There's your flag. There's your indication. Amy Goodman, Democracy Now! Well, she can have all the democracy she wants, but she can't have it here in this country because, A, dimwit, this is a republic. We don't need democracy now. We need the republic back now. And, of course, she's backed by the Ford Foundation, and just go from there. By the way, I contacted Ford Motor Company several months ago to ask them, the Ford Foundation, are you guys funding that? No, we're not. Different Ford Foundation. But it's one of the globalists, and, you know, they just have some problems with the current system. Tom in New York. Hello, Tom.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi.
You're on top of all of this stuff. Interesting.
Yeah, and I'm sinking fast, and I don't like the smell of it.
Well, yeah, well, you know what? Just watch your shoes. When they start turning brown, you know the politicians are talking.
Careful now. I got brown eyes.
What? We won't know the level, will we?
That's right.
But you're a pretty tall guy. I've been around you before. But anyway, if the kimchi's that deep, we it is. It just is. All right, now listen up. The callers are calling and asking where they're getting the money from. Mm-hmm. And you and I know that they can, do that with just an entry. But they're trying to sell, they tried to sell it in the Congress, and you know what they tried to sell it with? They were going to back this issue with subprime mortgages. What? I mean, this is like, You give $150,000 to a homeless guy and you tell him, I want you to meet me on that corner every week, okay? Every month, once a month to make your payment.
Right.
Okay? Does that sound like anything that you'd want to back anything with? Listen, if these idiots in the Senate today vote this thing in, what they've basically done is stolen the inheritance of your great-grandchildren.
Sure.
Because historically, I thought we were going to have a problem last night, you know, during Rosh Hashanah. I figured it was a Jewish time, because during Christmas, the Christmas recess with Congress, they brought in the Federal Reserve Act, you know?
Right.
And they brought in the IRS the same way, sneaky, when nobody was around. And I figured possibly when they send all of our, our Jewish compatriots and representatives, when they send them home, that they would do something. But it's not out of the realm of reason. John, I want to tell you something. The mechanism to siphon off the wealth of the stock market, okay? All this money that they pumped in and have pumped in, that show you, Steve, we had a little loss today. We had 19-point loss today.
Right.
But do you know how much money they put in to get it to a 19-point loss?
It would be your guess. Call up George and ask him what his plunge protection team pumped into it.
Yeah, exactly. Now, here's the situation. I don't know if they started selling short again. Did they, John?
I don't know. There was a 10-day moratorium. I think that 10 days might have already expired. See, this is one of the contentions, supposedly, of this deal that they're trying to construct. The people on Wall Street want to keep their short selling.
Well, of course they do, because the only way they can actually make money in the market is by the sliding economy, by the stocks going down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everybody doesn't understand the market. I do. I worked in it. Okay? And I'll tell you how it works. The large brokerage houses take one share of common stock and put a put and a call on both ends of it. So long as you have movement, they're making money. Do you understand that, John?
Hang on a second. We'll pick your brain for a little bit more of your expertise up there in Wall Street. By the way, how long did you do that?
I don't know, 7 years.
Really? What made you get out? The smell?
I'll tell you offline.
Okay. Okay. But hang on, Tom. We'll pick your brain a little bit further. Tom in Illinois, Dave in Texas, and others, we'll get to your calls as well. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them, and what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect, and most of the other herbs in there I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut, it's working on the liver, it's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Here's something. It doesn't matter if you're white, black, red, purple, fen, fat, or oblong. If you're eating food, you need to clean out the inside of your body. Why? Because undigested food and toxic chemicals build up in the digestive tract every day. If you think this can't hurt you, think again. It already has. Indigestion, bloating, gas, irregularity, and constipation are all connected to this toxic buildup. Here's what you can do about it. Take a supplement called AlloCleanse. It's all natural, and it gently cleanses the entire digestive tract. All that leftover junk inside your body gets flushed away, and your bathroom habits suddenly become a whole lot smoother. Laugh all you want, but it's true. And it's why millions of people use AlloCleanse daily. They get more energy, they're healthier, and they look better. You'd be surprised. To try AlloCleanse risk-free, call 1-800-547-6603. That's 1-800-547-6603. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click onto the AlloEase colon banner and learn more about this product.
Each client
has a unique situation.
Each client is first and foremost
an individual.
Each client with Onesti Investment Advisors has a different set of goals,
time frames,
risk tolerance,
and needs.
But the philosophy at Onesti Investment Advisors always remains the same.
1.
The preservation of capital.
2.
Consistent profitability. And
3.
The pursuit of superior returns.
In that order.
CFP certificate, John Onesti has over 14 years in the financial services industry and understands the complexities of today's markets. At Onesti Investment Advisors, we have no conflicts of interest, so we look out for you, our client. The better you do,
the better we do.
To learn more about our products and services, call Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Visit us online at onestiadvisors.com or
click on our banner ad on the RBN website.
Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
Tom, you spent 7 years in the pit.
Yeah.
What did you learn in those
Actually,
7 years?
I was more of an analyst than anything else.
Oh, okay.
I did have a Series 7 and a Series 63.
Okay.
I was able to trade, but I used to chart and do all kinds of stuff.
What firm did you work for?
Kidder Peabody.
Okay.
Yeah. Here's how it works. You buy a block of say 100. This is what they call house stocks, trading in house stocks. You buy a block of 100 or 1,000 shares. Then you buy the put, the plus or the minus, okay, like using it as a margin account. And then what you basically do is just sit on it. And you don't do anything with it at all. But larger houses can manipulate stocks by controlling a great deal of those blocks. In other words, when they have dead money or float money, they'll put it into house stock.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the cool part about it at house stock is if there's a major move in the company, I mean 3-4 points, doesn't have to be major, they'll just let it go. They'll take the loss on the negative side, pick it up on the positive side if it's going up or if it's going down, exactly the opposite. But what they'll do is the breakout figure you have to cover. And if you have even all the way across, right? So long as you have more than 2 points of movement in the stock and you have 3 points, you made 1 point profit. You understand?
Right.
So that's what they call high P.E. ratios, okay? Now, so long as you've got volatility and movement in the market, remember something. Brokers make their money on buying and selling. They don't make it by warehousing. The only way that they do it, warehousing, is by the method that I just showed you,
right,
that I just explained to you. Now, how they get in trouble is they turn all of their float money into house stocks, and then they start, instead of buying and selling like they're supposed to, by signaling their man on the floor to buy and sell shares off the big board, they start selling out of their house stocks. Okay? And they know they're gambling. They're also gambling they're selling short. Okay? You understand? Well, I can replenish that with the shares that I have from my house stock.
Uh-huh.
So most of the time, they don't even have to go to anywhere than the phone to get their stuff. They don't even make a move on the market. But meanwhile, they got all of this stock warehoused. Now, if they dump it at one time, we're talking millions and millions of dollars. If they dump it at one time, it'll cause a slide and they'll lose money.
I was just going to say their house stock, if the market is down, and they own that stock at a certain price, and they've got to replace that with the house stock, they're going to be losing money.
They don't have to replace house stock.
No, I'm talking about what they want to sell.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. The bottom line is their portfolio managers are supposed to be sitting on top of that, and they're supposed to dump it with that anchored situation I gave you.
Yeah.
You know, some heads will roll because we're talking a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to ask you, now a lot of people have said that stock market, it's been way, way overvalued. And what a lot of people are not getting on this whole deal, Tom, is this whole scenario, profit, banks, Wall Street, corporations, stock, you name it, it's all based on one thing, growth. Stagnation is not a good thing.
No, stagnation doesn't allow them to make any money. But, John, you got to understand something. A lot of things have changed in America since the inception of the stock market, okay? A lot of things have changed since the crash of 29.
Sure.
Many, many things have changed. For the first time in American history, America does not have the mechanism and the manufacturing base to even gear up to build the factories, right? To sustain themselves.
Understood.
They have to, at this particular time, John, they've got to import the machinery to build a factory. And with the lack of confidence in the money, they can't even purchase it.
Well, but with the global union that we've got now, we're not interested in building factories. We're not interested in creating manufacturing jobs. We just gave away about 5 million of those in the last 8 years. It is cheaper to have the products manufactured abroad. They're not penalized or taxed or tariffed bringing those goods back in.
John, that's not representative of the needs of the people.
Exactly.
That's representative of the stockholders and shareholders of the corporation.
Tom, you're not talking to Rush Limbaugh today. I know that.
I know that, but some of the people that listen to the show, I'm not saying that some of them may not understand it all, and I don't want to be condescending.
No. I was on the point, sir, only that I was making about the globalist market and how much rhetoric I see flying around with the bought and paid for politicians and the Wall Street cronies that are now saying that, well, we're in a world economy. We've got to do this. No, this world economy doesn't represent the best interest of the American people. Period.
No, it just brings us down to the standard of other countries.
Bingo.
Hey,
Tom, I got to let you go.
Wait, I got one thing I got to tell you.
Okay.
The market correction is going to be directly related to the 30% devaluation of the American currency. The multinational corporations that are listed on the big board issues will show the biggest hit. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm done.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I appreciate it, Tom. Tom, and we'll have another Tom. You're not in the stock market, are you, Tom?
No.
Okay. All right.
Just real quickly, I contacted both my senators, Dick Durbin. I contacted him by phone, and the receptionist was very nice. And I just laid it out. I don't want any bailout, modified or otherwise. I couldn't get a hold of Obama. His voicemail was supposedly full, so I faxed him. And I called Roskam, my congressman, and I actually thanked him for not voting for it, and I told him to keep it up. I thought that was kind of important because I'm sure they get a lot of negative calls. Might as well get a positive one.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, nothing too exciting.
Well, and I'm sure that they're being these people that are answering the phones at the senators and congressmen's office.
Oh, yeah, they're phony baloney.
Well, they're phony balonies, but they realize that they can get you off the line quicker if they're polite and nice to you. You could just tell them you just murdered their dog, and they'd say thank you and goodbye. You know, I mean,
yeah.
So, yeah, I understand. I understand. All right, well, hey, that's what we've been encouraging people to do. Fax them, call them, email them. And I understand the congressional, at least, website, they have been curtailing the amount of incoming emails that they will
take.
Yeah,
you can't email.
Yeah.
You can't email.
Well, and, geez, admittedly, 75% of the emails that have been coming over to our Congress critters have been against this bailout.
Oh, at least.
At least.
I just want to say I make copies of RBN homepage, and I bring the Daily Center on the 6th and 8th floor, where people can access the public access, you know, the courts and that. So hopefully some of them pick it up. I make about 10 to 20 copies a day. So.
All right. Well, I mentioned
it's
this
a
the
start.
Other, I, Tom, I mentioned this the other day. I will make, if people will call the network at 800-724-2719 and let me know how many cards. I'm going to make up generic cards for the network, nobody's name on it or show or anything else, but just a generic card. So you got that wonderful-looking little logo there and the website. And people can scratch down on it whatever show they want them to listen to or whatever. But I want to make those cards available. So if you want to call up and get on a list here, it'll give me an idea how many I need to print out. Just let me know.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate it. I got an email. This is what I do in the mornings. And I don't often give out my email. People email me here at the network at john@republicbroadcasting.org. But I shouldn't admit that I don't look at those emails. Other people do. And every once in a while, if I get a really hot one, they'll give it to me. At any rate, on my personal email, I got this one. And thanks, Tim, for sending this to me. He said, comments. He said, I have a hunch on why so many banks have been snatched up by other banks. This is an excerpt from H.R. 3997 directly from the House website. This is the section, 102E on page 9. Preventing unjust enrichment. See, they made a big deal out of this. We don't want these people making all this money, these bankers and all that stuff, and we want to eliminate all the millions that they might make. Well, in making purchases under the authority of this act, and this has had to do with the $700 billion to be dispersed by Hanky Panky and even Georgie Porgy himself, the Secretary shall take such steps as necessary, may be necessary, to prevent unjust enrichment of financial institutions participating in a program established under this section, including by preventing the sale of a troubled asset to the Secretary at a higher price than what the seller paid to purchase the asset. Now, this subsection does not apply, and here is the hook. This subsection does not apply to the troubled assets acquired in a merger or acquisition. In other words, a bank buys out another bank. What do I do with all that nasty stuff on the book? Well, this doesn't apply. Or a purchase of assets from a financial institution in a conservatorship or receivership, or that has initiated bankruptcy proceedings under Title 11 United States Code. And the guy that emailed this to me, and thank you, Tim, he puts as a little note here. He said, note the last sentence, which is an exception. Now, this sure sounds like the banks that are buying up the troubled banks stand to make a very tidy profit at the expense of the taxpayers. And that's what all the hullabaloo is about. These are private corporations for profit. The United States, the Federal Reserve, folks, has never paid a dime in taxes. The only thing that they pay is tax on the real estate on which their banks sit. Now, how do you like them apples? And what did they make sure the Federal Reserve, when they came in 1913, well, we need a surety on this loan that we know we're going to be giving the money to the government. They're going to be borrowing it, so we want a mechanism for which you can pay us back. And here's the real difference between honest banking and what they offered. You can never retire a debt with a debt money. Impossible to do. Especially when we're talking about billions and trillions of dollars. Cannot be done. You cannot retire that debt. So I appreciate you sending that in to me. And there was also another email. Let me take another call here. I'll dig up the other email here that actually talked about the United States banks coming into compliance. Dave in Texas. Hello, Dave.
Afternoon, John.
Hi.
Good to talk to you again. How you doing?
Good.
I was going to make a couple of quick points, if I might. On this bailout plan, I viscerally oppose this. There's a lot of things about it. One thing is the Senate vote tonight, if it goes forward as scheduled, it's unconstitutional. They're voting on an appropriation and a tax measure before it's been considered by the House, or passed by the House in this case, meaning it's unconstitutional for it to originate in the Senate. So they're not even supposed to be voting before the House comes back and votes on it.
That's
first.
Right.
One. Two, this proposed increase in the limit of FDIC coverage from $100,000 to $250,000 is not as good as it might sound to some at first glance, because theoretically you could have unlimited number of covered accounts at different institutions of up to $100,000 and potentially get many hundreds of thousands of dollars or more total coverage. If I'm not mistaken, this new provision would allow $250,000 coverage per person total system-wide.
Right.
It means you can't, the system can't be liable to any single person lifetime coverage more than $250,000. So if you lose anything beyond your first $250,000, that will cease to be covered no matter how many accounts, no matter what, and no matter how many different times over your lifetime you get.
Mm-hmm.
In which case, you're actually getting less total money back in potential coverage than is the case right now if they make no change at all, if that's correct.
Right.
Further, not only is the Secretary of the Treasury at least proposed in the initial draft of the bill, if it hasn't been changed, and I understand it hasn't been, given authority to do all kinds of things without proper oversight and with no potential court review later on.
That's right.
The Federal Reserve Chairman is also scheduled to be given this power.
Dave, they have been very careful to leave that part of the discourse and the reporting out of the news. They have been very careful to stay away from that, because that is one of the, and that's why I said that this is the takeover of the globalist of the financial system in this country. That's what they want Paulson to have. And the Congress does not have the power to cede that over to the Secretary of Treasury.
Nor to the Federal Reserve Chairman, who's not even part of the federal government.
Bingo, that private corporation for profit.
But further still, it also puts all U.S. banks under the FDIC control, and eventually is scheduled to try to put credit unions, which are not supposed to be under Federal Reserve control, under their jurisdiction.
Dave,
as well,
you get
which
the
I also viscerally oppose.
Dave, do you get the idea here that they want total financial control?
And if they get it, it puts the entire U.S. national banking system under international controls, and basically the Chinese and a lot of foreign creditors will have final say over our debt assets. They can come claim unpaid assets anytime they want, including people's houses and other property right out from under them, theoretically. No one will be safe. Your communist Chinese could come over and take your house out from under you if you're in, depending upon your unpaid mortgage liabilities and other possible debt you may have, if they really end up holding the debt and they call it. And I don't want this to pass. I think all the American people who were upset and helped block this on Monday need to make an effort to block it again the next time the House votes on it. And don't let the pressure off and think some of these congressmen think, well, now they can vote for a slightly reworded version of the same bill.
Yeah.
What was objectionable Monday should be just as objectionable to the same people on Friday or next Monday or whenever they try and vote on this again.
Yeah,
in the House.
And Dave,
we should block it again.
Yeah, absolutely. And what they've been saying that, oh, well, geez, the Republicans want to give some tax cuts, and the Democrats, well, they don't want to do that unless there's a cut in the budget. That's all political falderall. They're hoping the American people buy this, that they're fine-tuning this bill, but essentially it is the same bill. I thank you for your call, Dave. Very good points. Here's the deal here. The real reason for the sudden rush for the bailout, Basel II. Now, why the big panicked rush to bailout? Two clues. The U.S. fiscal year ends on September 30th, and a new one starts October 1. That's today. And the Basel II deadline for U.S. banks to be in Basel II compliancy, originally September 1st, must surely come due October 1st, of this year. Now, the Basel II compliant banks in Europe and elsewhere will be forbidden to do business with non-compliant banks in the U.S., effectively bringing the non-compliant banks down. That's a big sticking point here, because if you noticed in this rhetoric that they were throwing around with not too much clarity or detail, what they were talking about doing is also, well, shoveling some money to some European banks as well. Well, Basel II is the second of the Basel Accords, which are recommendations on banking laws and regulations issued by the Basel Committee on Banking Supervision. The purpose of Basel II, which was initially published in June of 2004, is to create an international standard that banking regulators can use when creating regulations about how much capital banks need to put aside to guard against the types of financial and operational risk banks face. A little bit more on this. I'll take one more call. Don Nikoloff is here. I'll take his call after this short break, and we'll conclude this edition of the National Intel Report.
Can the United States of America survive a total breakdown? Disarmed, prostrate before an unfriendly third world, and overwhelmed by politically correct domestic tyranny, does the spirit of 1776 still live in American hearts? Was 9/11 a wake-up call? A Pearl Harbor for America? Or was it Western civilization's Appomattox to Islamo-fascism? These questions and more are answered in Pandemonium in 2012, the new book by Lee Cross.
This is Lee Cross. Americans, Paul Revere's words still ring true. The redcoats are coming. But today they swap their red coats for ACLU law books and Islamic terrorist bombs. Read how to stop them. Buy my new book.
Fiction or prophecy, you decide after you buy and read the new book by Lee Cross, Pandemonium in 2012. Published by Virginia City Publishing. Available to order through most bookstores or Amazon.com.
Most of mankind's diseases have now been conquered. This medical breakthrough can save your life or the life of a loved one. Please listen. The answer to AIDS, hepatitis A, B, and C, malaria, herpes, TB, most cancers, and many more of mankind's worst diseases has been found. Details of this amazing secret has been freely disclosed in Jim Humble's book, The Miracle Mineral Supplement of the 21st Century, available at miraclemineral.org. Read how in five countries of Africa, over 75,000 cases of malaria and other diseases were successfully treated with this new mineral supplement. Learn more at miraclemineral.org. It also works with cold, flu, pneumonia, sore throats, warts, mouth sores, and even abscessed teeth. Download part one of this amazing book free at miraclemineral.org. Then, if you're satisfied, purchase part two for only $9.95 or the hard copy for only $19.95. Please enter RBN when prompted on where you heard about miraclemineral.org.
There you go.
Hi, folks. Ronnie McMullen here, host of the Prophetic Watch. As a radio host, many products cross my desk every week. Few products are truly worth endorsing because they don't work or there is some kind of catch or gimmick. Dr. Miller's Life Change Tea does exactly what it says. It cleans your body of chemicals, toxins, and parasites, and the effect is you lose weight. That's right, you lose weight. I wouldn't put my name behind this product if it didn't work. Here's how you order. Online, getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or call us, 928-308-0408. That's area code 928-308-0408. Finally, a natural prior you won't be disappointed in. Getthetea.com.
Wasn't that the idea when we started out in school? That's what they said the Constitution was about. Wasn't that the idea when we started out at school? That's what they said the Constitution was.
Singing, brother. At any rate, quickly here. In practice, Basel II attempts to accomplish this by setting up rigorous risk and capital management requirements designed to ensure the bank holds reserve capital appropriate to the risk the bank exposes itself through its lending and investment practices. Generally speaking, these rules mean that the greater risk to which the bank is exposed, the greater the amount of capital the bank needs to hold to safeguard its solvency and overall economic stability. Now, on July 16th, the Federal Banking and Thrift Agencies, the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve System, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, and the Office of Thrift Supervisor, I don't know what the heck that means, issued a final guidance outlining the supervisory review process for the banking institutions that are implementing the new Advanced Capital Adequacy Framework, known as Basel II. The final guidance relating to the supervisory review is aimed at helping banking institutions meet certain qualifications and the requirements in advance approaches rules, which took effect on April 1. Now, the European Union has already implemented the accord via the EU capital requirements directives, and many European banks already report their capital adequacy ratios according to the new system. All the credit institutions will adopt it by 2008. Here is the problem they're having. They cannot do this with the American banks. That's why there is this big rush to capitalize the banks so that they can start to come into compliance with this Basel II. Otherwise, European banks aren't going to do any business with us. That's why large amounts of money, you've heard on this network through me before, large amount of monies cannot flow into this country because the banks don't want to deal with the U.S. banks. Don Nikoloff. Hello, Don.
Hi, John. I'm calling from your old stomping ground.
Which is?
Vermilion.
You're in Vermilion, Ohio?
Oh, yeah.
No kidding.
Yes, sir. You didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yes. Very good show today. I wanted to, since you brought up Basel II, actually, we're supposed to be on a gold standard, number one.
Yeah.
And number two, the offshore accounts require proof of source of funds, and this they cannot do. In fact, all of the illegal offshore accounts have been frozen.
Mm-hmm.
This is the necessity for this emergency cash. They want to start hypothecating the money like they've been doing with the trillions of dollars since the early 1980s. An interesting find, I don't know if anyone's mentioned this, but three people working on Obama's finance committee are all former Fannie Mae chief executive officers. Franklin Raines, who was chairman and chief executive officer, Tim Howard, who was the chief financial officer, and Jim Johnson, a former executive at Lehman Brothers and also a CEO at Fannie Mae. The three of them, in that order, Raines received $240 million in his golden parachute benefits, $50 million which he had to return to the government when they found that he was cooking the books, we'll say.
Yeah.
Also, Tim Howard made $20 million, and Johnson made $28
million. Well, now, hey, Don, we're out of time. I wish you would have called in a little bit earlier. Call back, my friend, and say hello to Sandusky. It's right to the left of you there.
Yes, I know.
Okay, hey, thanks, Don.
All right, you
appreciate
take care.
It. You too. By the way, the summary on the panic of Paulson, Bernanke, Bush, Cheney is because their crimes are close to being exposed. Those congressmen who have been bribed to ignore these crimes are also in the panic. By the way, there was a 90-day extension leading up to this October 1st for the U.S. bank compliance. That is today, folks. That's why the Senate's climbing in prematurely. We'll see you tomorrow.
It's the same.